Where's your playlist taking you? Down the highway? To the mountains? Or just into daydream mode while you're stuck in traffic? With over 4,000 hotels worldwide, Best Western is there to help you make the most of your getaway. Wherever that is. Because the only thing better than a great playlist is a great trip. Life's the trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
Welcome in, everybody. It is another edition of Inside Boxing Live, presented by PPV.com, and we had ourselves one heck of a heavyweight showdown. Alexander Usyk does it again, defeats Tyson Fury by unanimous decision in a tactical, fun fight. Not anything too crazy in terms of, well, we remember this. What we will remember is Alexander Usyk being one of the greatest fighters to ever roam this earth. A lot of that on this episode, Chris. Algieri, former world champion. How are you?
I'm good. I'm very good. It was a fun...
Are you feel?
What?
Are you very feel?
Very feel? Yeah, I'm very feel about the result. Usyk is, he's a bad dude, man. Just, everything we were saying leading up to it. But I don't know. I felt good after this fight. It was like, man, this guy's special. We're watching somebody special. And it's funny, like we posted one of our clips and I was like, oh, listen, he wins this fight and this guy goes down as one of the best heavyweights ever. People are like poo-pooing that idea. I'm like, really? Why? Like, by what standard do you now not consider him one of the best, you know, to ever do it? I mean, in terms of credentials and what he's done, there's no question. But even at heavyweight, I mean, he beat all the top guys of this current crop. And he's been undersized. He's been the underdog in a lot of these
fights.
On the road. He's been, I mean, come on.
The cards stacked against him?
Everything. We were talking about the fix is in, quote unquote, you know, because it was just a big, the fix was not in. No. There was a big push, though, that for Fury to win. And we even agreed. Like, we're like, hey, listen, in terms of the sport of boxing, it's better if Fury wins. You know, there's a lot of other, you know, fights that can be made based on that. If Usyk wins, it's kind of a final chapter on this and closes a door. So, I mean, it was definitely hedged in Fury's favor, but it doesn't matter. Usyk does not lose. The guy does not know how to lose. And which is why, listen, I'll put him against anybody. And there's a discussion about it. No question.
Yes, we will get into that debate too, because it is a fun debate, because that's the beauty of boxing. There's so much history, especially heavyweights, about where Usyk stands in the all-time pantheon of heavyweights and fighters. As for the fight, I had it 8-4, Usyk. I know you had it 7-5, Usyk. Usyk was the clear winner in this fight. Mm-hmm. The AI judges, 118-112, which I've never heard that scorecard. That's 10 rounds.
I said it on my post, and I was like, because I remember 118-112, and I didn't think about it at the time because there was so much going on last night after the fight, and like they said that, whatever. And then like this morning, I'm doing my recap post, and I'm like, I think it was 118-112, because in my mind, that's a very weird.
I like those posts, by the way.
Thanks. I'm gonna keep doing those. Especially because I travel so much and I'm there in a lot of these fights, and just get kind of like, I like being a little like red-eyed, you know, talking into my phone. I might say something crazy because I'm still half asleep, or I'm
put
sleep
some captions
deprived
on them, and you're
yeah,
rolling.
Whatever. It just might say some crazy stuff, but whatever. But yeah, no, it's but that also speaks to objectively how close some of those rounds were. It was really difficult.
No, I think the AI experiment was. It a lot has to be done. 118-112. That means 210-10 rounds. Mm-hmm. I mean,
that's my point. It speaks to like it was close. Like that. It was neck and neck for a lot of those rounds. Like certain rounds, you're like, yeah, okay, that was definitely a sick round. That was definitely a Fury round. But some of those rounds, you're like, you know. But I'm leaning one way, especially early on.
Another AI company had it 118-110, which is way too wide. So we need to pump the brakes on AI. Like, we're in the infancy stages of AI in general, not just in boxing. don't want to spend too much time on that, but I thought it was kind of funny. Like, there was a lot of publicity and a lot of talk about these AI judges, and they got it wrong.
There's gonna be a lot less talk now.
Yes, and we need to stop with the promoters after the fight. Like, Frank Warren shocked, dumbfounded. Of course you are, because your guy lost. Eddie Hearn had it much closer. You know, I thought maybe Fury could have won because he wants Joshua to fight Fury. We'll get into that too. But I believe the right man won. All three judges were in. They had it the same way.
In agreement.
In agreement. That's the word I was looking for. In agreement. No split decision. So I lost my bet. Don't care. The right guy won.
That's what it's good fight.
It's really about good fight. Don't care if I lost my bet. I just thought Usyk. He landed more punches than he did in the first fight.
Did he really? Landed, I don't know the numbers. This is why we do
landed more punches than he did in the first fight,
which is impressive because that was the most that Fury had ever been hit with in the first
fight. And now there's a new good job, Chris. And now there's a new career high for Fury. Usyk landed 45% of his combinations.
Yeah,
he landed
combos.
78 body shots, which was more than he did in the first fight. He threw fight highs in rounds 11 and 12 because he's the closer. He is the Michael Jordan. He is coffee is for closers. Landed 54% of his power shots over the final five rounds.
Wow.
Just showed he was just steady. He was consistent. Great chin, which we often don't talk about with him. It was a big reason for his success is his chin and his engine. And he just won the fight. He did more. And Fury, give him credit. Fury fought way more locked in. He was way more disciplined. Yes. He wasn't showboating. But
fought a very good fight.
You cannot. I'm gonna hear your thoughts on this. You can't with Usyk than Fury. You cannot deny that Fury's just can't fight a full 12 rounds anymore. He was throwing wild shots at times. He got away from his jab. He got away from the body work. His legs. This is everything I said in the clip that I put out too. That I just got lambasted by Fury fans. It's just father time. He caught up to him, but he's still damn good. Like I still want to see him fight again. But first, your thoughts on Usyk and, you know, those numbers, especially late.
Yeah, so my thoughts on Usyk, you know, I talked about it during the live. I talked about it this morning when I did my post. But just kind of to reiterate, I mean, he's just that guy. He's that dude. You know, he knows how to win. He's got an extra gear. He always finds it. And, you know, you talk about his chin. I think it's more his resilience because I think Fury actually hurt him a lot in this fight. I think he got rocked several times. He just doesn't show it. And I said that during the live. A lot of the shots that Usyk lands are very eye-catching. And that's just based on body type. You know, the way that Fury fights, which is very loose in terms of his positioning and his kind of and where his hands are and how his med moves, but also he's 6'9". So when he gets his head popped up, you see it. He's a big man and you see his head get rocked back by a straight left hand or a jab. You're going to take more note of that. Whereas when Fury would land and actually, I believe, rock Usyk several times because of his positioning, bang, he gets hit with an uppercut, bang. It's like, you know, you can't really tell if it even went through the glove. A lot of them did. And bang, you see him get hit, but he keeps his positioning. He doesn't break position. He doesn't give a lot of ground. Sometimes he did move out of the way and I'm like, ooh, I think he's hurt. But then he just comes back with a combination just to let you know, even if there's not much on it, bing, 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 he lets those hands go, slides off to the weak side. Very, very smart, understands judging. He understands that perception is reality when it comes to this sport because it is subjective, the scoring method. And that if he doesn't show it, it doesn't really matter. It didn't really happen. So I do believe the fight was very close in terms of that, like who hurt who and the good punches that were landed. But Usyk just being in more control of the moments in between.
More consistent.
More consistent throughout. And that's what he is. That's what, if you say anything about Usyk, and we say all these things, oh, he's a master boxer. He's got a super high boxing IQ. You know, he's got great defense. He's got great offense. He's always combinations. It's just consistency. The guy in round 12 didn't look like it was round 12.
Could have went for another 12 more.
Yeah, he's from a different era. He's a 15 round fighter, and you can see him be that. And which is also why I rate him so high in the, as you said, the pantheon of heavyweights and great fighters of any generation. I think that style is hard to beat for anybody.
Yeah, it was. I was really impressed with what he did over the course of 12 rounds. It wasn't like we didn't have that ninth round where he was knocking Fury all over.
We didn't
have
the drama. We didn't have the drama in this fight.
It wasn't a seismic. If you had it on a graph, it would be very steady for Usyk. steady, still landed pretty much the same output as he did in the first fight. A little more punches landed in the second fight than he did in the first. He didn't have any moments where he absolutely hurt or staggered Fury. He did catch Fury a few times. I would say Fury definitely landed some big shots in there, man. There were a few punches, like, which just wasn't enough. That's the thing with Fury in this fight. That's the thing with, when you get to 35 years old, is that Fury was landing, you know, he was throwing maybe one or two punches at a time, and some of them were landing. Like, I think I can count on one hand the big, hard shots that Fury landed, but nothing else after those shots. Whereas Usyk was throwing four or five punches at a time. If they weren't all getting through, he was mounting a better offensive attack and a more consistent attack. And that's how you bank rounds. Still very close rounds.
They landed running numbers. He was running numbers.
Exactly. Running numbers, and they landed within five punches of each other in all 12 rounds.
Wow.
That is very close. But in boxing, you have 10-9 rounds, and you can get a 7-5 scorecard. You can get an 8-4. You can get a 9-3, and it'd be a close fight. Because there weren't any demonstrative moments for Usyk, like in round 9 of the first fight. There weren't any like consistent moments for Fury. He would land one big shot in the round. I'm like, hey, can you give Fury the round because he landed one shot or two shots?
Also,
two
a lot of the rounds were decided in the last minute. A lot of the rounds.
And Usyk was doing work in that final minute.
Yeah, and it seemed like he made a Paulie Malignaggi and I were talking about, you know, this fight's going to be one of adjustments. And that was one of the adjustments that Alexander Usyk made, was that, yeah, well, listen, we got a big guy. So we didn't talk much about the weight. So Fury comes in at 281, which is close to 20 pounds heavier than he was in the
mistake,
first fight.
Mistake, right?
Well, I don't know, because you got to look at it in both ways, positive and negative. Positively, I think it aided him early on. I think it aided him in taking the punches, because obviously he didn't take the punches as well in the first fight. He took them much better in this fight. So he had the size advantage in terms of being more resilient, more durable. Also power. Those punches were thudding. You could hear them. I mean, yeah, I wasn't there. You could hear the punches from Fury. Even when they landed on the elbows, some of those body shots were wicked. And you could hear the thudding shots coming from Fury, which is why maybe the people who are in the room, you know, might have thought things were a little bit different, could have been closer, you know, not really sure. Something that the AI probably can't understand or can't compute just yet. Is the heaviness of those shots based on him being such a big guy and also just the way he throws. But the punches, you know, so the weight in terms of, you know, aiding him early, I think it did. But I think later on, it weighed him down. And I think the gas tank showed some, you know, you mentioned age. I don't know how much it was age, because I thought he boxed well. I thought he was being really smart. And I was saying that during the telecast last night about Fury. I'm like, man, he's this big. He's this athletic. He has fast hands, but he's also smart. He was setting traps the whole time, setting things up. I liked his adjustment this fight. Did you see the hook off the jab? That was a big weapon. Big weapon. And he landed some really good ones. Ooh, He landed some really good ones. Again, like you just said, not enough. But that was an adjustment that he made, which is a smart adjustment from a southpaw, because you're now pushing him into that right uppercut, which was such a big weapon in the first fight. Not so much in this fight. Landed a couple of them, but very rarely. I think he could have been more consistent with the body. Certainly could have been more consistent with the jab.
That's what I mean, Chris. Like, what was his game plan? What was Fury's game plan? Because if you're going to come in at 280, like,
well, he thought he won.
Okay. Well, he didn't. Of course he didn't think he won. But what was his game plan heading in? It felt like
he didn't use his size.
Right. What the heck? He didn't use his size in the first fight. Didn't use his size in the second fight.
Dan, let's be honest. He fought cautious. Let's be honest. He got hurt the first fight. He got hurt.
He fought cautious. This rematch, he comes in at 280. So in my mind, when he came in heavier in the second Wilder fight, and he told the world, I'm going to be on my front foot after pretty much a career of not really being that type of boxer, I didn't believe it. And then he did it, and then we believed it. And then from that fight on, he became more of a puncher. So when I see him come in at 280 for this fight, I'm thinking, okay, the first five rounds, he is going to come forward and he is going to throw caution to the wind.
Nope.
But he didn't. He was kind of in between. And then when you have 280 frame on you and you're 35 and maybe your legs aren't 100%, you're going to wear down. He didn't wear down too much. I'll give him that. Like, his legs aren't gone.
Durable.
But he didn't. I just want to know what his game plan was, because the first half, he didn't really come out on that front foot. He didn't come out guns a-blazing. Second half, he didn't really put it together. There were like four or five rounds in a row where he didn't do much of anything. Usyk swept those rounds and took the momentum and won the fight. So what was the game plan? What was the execution? What did he have a game plan? Did he can he not execute because he just doesn't have enough left? There's a lot of questions for Fury. I think obviously at the end of his rope, maybe he has one or two fights left, whether it's AJ or whoever he wants. But crazy to see back-to-back losses for Fury. And on top of it, the Ngannou performance. So that's three not great questionable performances. Yeah. Still good, but questionable from a guy that was invincible. But, you know, that's life. That's father time. That's boxing.
Yeah, I mean, and you got to also think about with Fury, it's not just his chronological age. You got to think everything he's been through. One, he's been through from the top. What has happened to him in the ring, right? He's been in wars. He fought Deontay Wilder three times. He's one of the most devastating punchers. I mean, anyone that we've seen in our lifetime, who you compare him to? Mike Tyson, essentially. Who is more devastating than Deontay Wilder?
It took a lot of flush shots.
Yeah. So even grazing shots from Wilder, like, that's taken years off your life. You know, he's that kind of puncher. I'm not being facetious here. I'm not being hyperbolic. Like, that guy was dangerous.
One thing you can say about Wilder is that he punches hard. You can debate until the cows come home.
Yep. He's one of the best one-punch fighters and one-punch heavyweights ever. And so, you know, he spent three fights with that guy. You know, he's had a lot of tough fights. He's been rocked. He's been down a bunch. You know, he's a big guy. Then we got to talk about what he does outside of the ring. We have videos of him falling down face first.
What about
coming
the weight
out of bars.
Fluctuation?
The weight fluctuations, the addiction, you know, going away, like the mental issues, everything.
Having 12 kids.
The guy's been through a lot, you know. Having his dad be his dad, you know, that
his
can take
family,
a lot out
bro.
Of
he's got yeah, so many dude. Kids. He's yeah, got a lot of money now too.
He's got a lot of money now, but you know he's the guy has been through a lot. He's a seasoned, playing it nicely, seasoned 37 or 36, whatever.
He's 35.
35.
Looks like he's 50.
I thought he's 36.
Oh, 35, wow. And we're terrible at ages on this show. Fury's 35 and Usyk's 37.
We are terrible at ages, yeah.
Oh, I like to. I have like a window, like a 2-year window of your age. I lump you in. 37, 38.
In fights, because then it's like, oh well, I'm 37, but I turned 38 in 2 months. Like, am I really 37? Right.
You can do
like
that.
When I fought Ben, like, how old are you? I was like, well, it was 3 months later, I was 38, so I was 38.
So all right, you want to say 38?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So like, I'm gonna say that about Usyk, or both these guys. It's like, well, you know, we were talking about Terrence Crawford not too long ago. It's like, yeah, he's 35, but like his birthday's next month, so he's 36.
I will say this about Fury though: he didn't do anything. He didn't embarrass himself. Like, we could see him fight again. They're talking about that Joshua
fight.
Yeah, it's up to him if he wants to fight again. He showed a lot of fire afterwards in terms of, didn't want to do a post-fight interview, thought he won. He didn't accept the loss, and you can look into that however you want. You can look into that as, you know, he wants to fight on again. The first fight, he kind of accepted it. Obviously,
well, unless he does a Marvin Hagler and doesn't accept the loss and goes, F this sport, I'm out. I'm going to go do spaghetti westerns and live in Italy.
Yeah, but Hagler did it like, what was he, 32 when he did that? 33? Or once again, baby ages. He did it like, he still had a lot of prime years left. I think Fury's prime is way behind him.
Yeah.
But yeah, Usyk is unreal, man. Just from a fight standpoint, before we move on to the other stuff, just love watching him operate in there. Even at 37, legs are still
operate's
nice.
A good word. He's an operator, yeah.
Just in and out. Just so sneaky with the lefts. The body work is so consistent, and the broadcast didn't talk about it.
The focus of this man, the discipline, the focus, the unwavering awareness of what's going on at all times. The man's eyes, he looks crazy for a reason, because those eyes are dialed. They're never not dialed. That guy, he is so impressive to me.
Body work, too. 78
good
body
work, consistent.
The broadcast didn't really, they were skewed towards Fury. They didn't
I got
give
a lot
of.
I didn't, because I wasn't listening to the broadcast. I got to go back and listen to it. Got a lot of negative comments about the broadcast.
It was pretty. I mean, you're always going to miss something. The broadcast is never going to be perfect. We call
it's
fights.
Tough it's being
really
there
hard.
Too on an event like that, where it's like
it was pretty skewed towards Fury. They weren't picking up on a lot of Usyk's
body work subtleties.
I think the commentary kind of swayed a lot of people. If you're a Fury backer. And there's a lot of them, and they're kind of blind blind fury.
They're sickle fans. They are fury sickle fans. So they are.
Oh, they came after me real hard, bro. They came after me real hard with that clip that I posted where I said that Fury's legs aren't what they used to. He can't get out of the way of reflexes. His reflexes aren't. He can't get away the way of lefts. With that being said, I think he's going to lose. And the Fury people, some guy said he's going to hunt me down.
Wow.
Guy lived in Ireland. Threats.
Bold-faced threats.
Enzo McInerney had something to say to me, but it's fine.
Listen, former champ, the guy who beat
Roy Jones. I loved that guy. He said he didn't like – which I agree because I said – I went through my whole thing, and I pretty much was setting up how I don't think Fury is 100% anymore. He's going to lose. But I said split decision, which was kind of a mistake on my part because I lumped in my gambling pick with what I thought was going to happen in the fight. Mm. So I'm explaining how Fury –
can't do that, yeah.
I just should have said Fury's going to lose a decision. Whatever, you can't win them all. But it got a lot of traction, this clip. I mean, it's got a shit ton of views. So it gets into the hands in front of a lot of people. And it's good for the show. It's good for the show. That's all that matters. But
Dan,
I heard it.
You got to tuck away your pride. You got to tuck away your personal. You got to have. So I got really good advice a bunch of years ago, a decade ago. In this sport, you got to have thick skin and a short memory.
I like that.
Because, listen, you're going to be in this forever, dude. So when people come after you, it's like, eh.
Short memory. I'm flattered by it. You know, like,
well, that's a good way to look at it, too.
Yeah, you want to interact with our takes and our posts, then go ahead. But, yeah, very.
Well, it's better than speaking into the void, right?
That's 100% accurate, bro, my friend. Now we get into Usyk's all-time great status. His legacy, which is very fun to talk about. And
especially because this gets people very hyped up, apparently.
Listen, I will say this. Alexander Usyk is an all-time great fighter. There's no debate about that. Is he an all-time great heavyweight? It depends on how you look at that, because the heavyweight is such a rich division, has so much history. So I can understand some pause on inserting him into the top 10 at heavyweight, top 15, top 20.
You're but that's also when you talk about all time great, what number, what's your cutoff?
Exactly.
Are you a top 50? Like all time great?
It's an arbitrary word. It's a word you throw out there. Like, is he top 10 heavyweight of all time? No. Is he top 20?
Arbitrary, but
possibly?
It pisses people off.
Right. Is Usyk top 10? Probably not. Heavyweight. Is he top 15, top 20 ish? You're getting into that discussion. But is he an all time great fighter?
No question.
If you put together what he did at cruiserweight, clearing it out, if you put together what he's done at heavyweight, clearing it out. Now it's what's undebatable, you can't debate, is that Usyk is an all-time great fighter in terms of what he has done in his entire career spanning two weight classes in 23 fights. You can say he's an all-time great. You can say that. So there's no debate about that. The heavyweight stuff, that's fun, and you can do that all day long. Could he beat a bigger heavyweight now? He just took out all these giants. Could he beat some of the giants of the past? Could he beat an Ali? Because Ali was a smaller heavyweight. Can he beat a Joe Frazier, who was a smaller heavyweight as well? That's fun. But you cannot debate that he is an all-time great if you put together his whole body of work.
Well, his list of accomplishments are out of control. I mean, gold medalist, Olympic gold medalist, you know, wipes out a very talented cruiserweight division. The guys that he beat, the Gassievs of the world, the Marius Bredis, who's still fighting, by the way. Marius Bredis, who's still good. That was a really good fight.
Gave him his toughest fight.
Yes. And then he moves up the heavyweight. Listen, I remember before he beat Joshua, you and I were discussing him versus, you know, not versus, but comparing him and Evander Holyfield. You know, is Evander Holyfield an all-time great, you know, fighter? Absolutely. Is he an all-time great heavyweight? I would guarantee everyone's going to agree with that one. So how do you not discuss Alexander Usyk? You got a guy who's coming up. He's a smaller man, and he's fighting the best of his era. He's getting a little bit of the Roy Jones effect, where you're fighting everyone that's in front of you, and you're beating them, and you're doing it in an impressive fashion. But also, it's like, wow, that's, you know, he's beating, you know, Anthony Joshua when Joshua was a little bit past, and he'd already been beaten. You know, he's beating Tyson Fury when he's older. You're getting that. You're not getting that, well, back in the day, it wasn't like he's fighting Kenny Norton and you know, George Foreman. It's like, well, what else is he going to do? He's beating the top guys in his division right now. He's about to fight Dubois again, which we're going to talk about, I'm sure. You know, he's got two wins over Joshua. He's got two wins over Fury. Who did he miss? Wilder was already washed by the time that Usyk got to top contention. right? So which heavyweight at the highest level, the top tier heavyweights of our current era and generation, did he not fight?
None. Parker.
Exactly.
I wouldn't put Parker in that. I put Parker just below that rung.
Of course. Exactly. You know, those top level, top tier heavyweights that we have been talking about for the last 5-6 years are Anthony Joshua, Tyson Fury, and Deontay Wilder. He beat all of them. You know, obviously, like I said, what I said about Deontay. But yeah, I mean, he beat the best of the best. And then Dubois, now in hindsight, he might actually be one of those guys because he's damn good and he's really coming into his own.
Chris, it's also how he's done, how he's beaten these guys.
Yes.
There's no debate. He wasn't never knocked down. He was hurt at times, but never out. The two Fury wins, he won 70% of those rounds.
Yep.
He stopped Daniel Dubois. I understand this ridiculous controversy with the low blow or the body shot. He still got up and stopped Dubois. That's a dub. The Joshua wins. There's no debate on who won those. So
those are very impressive.
He's fighting these guys, and these are names, and they're still considered very good. Like Joshua was still considered very good in the first and second fights. Fury was still considered one of the best in the division. Daniel Dubois, young, hungry, really good as well. Yeah, are they a little? You could poke holes in everything. You can go back to the 70s and 80s if we were doing this podcast back then, and be like, I don't know, man. Frazier, he ain't everything.
Yeah, he got washed by George. Like come on. Ali's win against him was a little tarnished. You know, George
That'd
washed
be funny.
Him.
That'd be hilarious to do like a 70s era podcast where we're just talking shit.
We should do that. We should dress dress differently and like well, get it black
because,
and white.
Dude, if there was all this media then, and there was, but we just can't find it. Like, you would be ripping into Ali. Ali would be hated, or you would find holes.
I mean, he was
in him.
For a long stretch.
Of course, you would find holes with Foreman. You would find holes with Frazier.
Ah, he's Frankenstein. He can punch, but
exactly. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, Bredis, Gassiev, Bellew, Michael Hunter, another good win. Derek Chisora as your first big heavyweight win, pretty incredible. Then he goes on to the heavy hitters. His last five wins.
Crazy.
Tyson Fury twice. Dubois, Anthony Joshua twice. Like, no tune-ups in between.
Nope.
No long breaks. Just wins.
And where were those fights happening, by the way?
Well, the Dubois one was somewhat in Poland. It was kind of a home fight for him. But none of them in the comforts
also
of his own home.
Also, the ring was wet. And he's a mover. So that's something that never gets mentioned, right? You know, because it was outside, it rained, the ring was ridiculous, his footwork was all over the place.
He looked. I remember watching that first couple of rounds,
and being like, "What's wrong with him?"
No, I'd be like, "Yo, his legs are." I mean, because that's once his legs go, what a type of fighter Usyk is. Those legs go, he's cooked. And I was like, "Oh man, did he just become old overnight? Are his legs done?" But it was indeed a wet ring.
So maybe quote unquote home field advantage, but obviously it didn't work out for him. He's the mover and the ring was compromised.
And it's pretty obvious that his legs are fine because he looked tremendous against Fury.
Footwork balance all looked phenomenal.
But I just love this career. And we talk about how efficient he is as a boxer inside of the ring. His career is efficient. 23 fights. He is unified and become undisputed in two weight classes.
Yep.
In 23 fights. Talk about efficiency.
Yeah, I mean, the guy, like you mentioned earlier, the guy doesn't take tune-ups. He just goes for the best. And you're seeing that more and more with these guys when they have these really big amateur backgrounds. They're not wasting any time anymore. They're going right for it. And which I appreciate. Like, what's the point? Just get your – dude, when you're the highest level amateur, you're fighting world-class guys, guys who are going to be world champions one day. Is if they can turn pro, depending on where they're coming from. Some countries don't allow them to turn pro. But if these guys turn pro, they will be world champions. And, you know, so you're going to take a step down and you need to get 20 fights against ho-hum competition? No. Go right for it. Go. Listen, Vasily Lomachenko, he wanted a world title fight his very first fight. The ball's on him to demand that. Obviously, he was shut down by the governing bodies and his promoters.
He got in the second fight?
Second or third fight. Which obviously, you know, he lost the fight to Orlando Salido, but then came back to get it against Gary Russell, which that win is crazy.
Insane.
You got four fights and you're fighting Gary Russell, who
Prime
Gary Russell, who no one else can carry his jock, and he outclasses him. Yeah, incredible. So I think with these guys, kind of guys, Inusik being obviously one of them too, Olympic gold medalist, coming into the pro fray immediately at the highest level, it just makes sense. So 23 fights, like you said, he did all he did.
He turned pro in 2013, Usyk. He had 8 fights in Ukraine, 6-rounder, 8-rounders, 10-rounders, washed everyone. KO, 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 KO. His 10th fight was against Glodnacki, which was for the
good fighter.
For the cruiserweight title.
Tough guy. Very tough guy.
He decisioned him. And then he went on to Michael Hunter and decisioned him. And then he beat Marco Huck, stopped him in the 10th round. The Breedis fight, which was the semifinals of that tournament, decision. Gassiev, who was Gassiev really good...
That's when I really picked my head up and was like, oh, wow. Because I thought Gassiev was a monster. And I was like, this guy's dangerous. He was knocking people. Like he knocked out Dordekos really bad. And
oh,
I was
remember that?
Oh, man, that was gnarly. I'm like, this guy's...
called the Super... What was it called? The World Boxing Super Series was awesome.
Yes. Yeah.
Really
and,
hard
and
to
It was
to do
so
over
necessary
over.
For the cruiserweights because no one was paying attention to them. And they had all these guys. Marius Bredis was 23-0 when... Alexander Usyk fought him. Murat Gassiev, 26-0 when he fought him. He
took you O's, know. Bro. Took Hunter's O's.
Michael Hunter, 10-0.
Took Glodnacki's O. The World Boxing Super Series was awesome. I wish it could be recreated, but it just, the stars have to align. But it jump-started Usyk.
And those tournaments made a few guys. Andre Ward, it made Alexander Usyk.
That was the Super Six.
Yeah, but I'm just saying in general.
Tournaments, you mean?
Tournament style, right.
In a way?
And yes, exactly. Where there wasn't a lot of movement on certain weight classes, and there wasn't a platform for them. Those tournaments really escalated guys' careers.
And they did it on at 140 that got Regis Prograis
and Taylor.
Taylor, awesome. And then he goes on and he fights Bellew, and this is when we're starting. He knocks him out. This is when we're starting to pump that heavyweight, bang the drum for heavyweight. He starts his heavyweight career. I remember he beats Chaz Witherspoon. It was supposed to be, I think Witherspoon was a late replacement.
Yes.
And I'm going to be honest, bro. I was very skeptical of Usyk at heavyweight.
I said no shot.
Same thing. You can go back
said,
and,
no
and
shot.
Find podcasts in the past. I was very critical of Usyk going critical of Usyk going to heavyweight. In 2019, you have Fury at the top of his game. You have Wilder still in his prime. You have Joshua, coming off the loss to Ruiz, but then avenging that loss. And I'm like, all right, those guys are fucking huge. Like I just don't see it in terms of size. The size blinded me. And And that should be a reason to never go against that because Usyk, it doesn't matter. He'll beat guys much bigger. And the Witherspoon and the Chisora fights back to back.
Chisora, he did not look good. Chisora looked like he uncovered how you beat him.
But that was a great, that was a necessary fight for Usyk.
Yep.
Chisora for your first real test, like in 2020, Chisora, like before he was super washed, still washed, but wasn't super washed. And Chisora gave him 12 hard rounds.
Yeah, I mean, and two of those judges had a 115-113. You know, it was a close competitive fight. And Chisora, I know his record is weird. He is a bad man and a very, very dangerous guy.
He's just relentless. He's just going to take
relentless.
Everything
you give him. Huge. He's huge. 250. He can punch. He's durable. Even though he's been knocked out a bunch of times, he is durable. You got to really crack him to get him out of there. He's a problem. He's a tough guy. He's one of those guys that, you know, again, record doesn't tell the real story. You gotta look past the numbers on Derek Chisora.
So, yeah, then he goes on with those 5 fights that we just talked about, the 5 wins over the 5 big boys, Dubois, Joshua, Fury. It's just unbelievable.
I mean,
man.
He's the king of rematches, no? Is he not?
Usyk is, yes.
Yeah, well, Fury. A lot of people were saying Fury was, but we know now that it's Usyk. Usyk is the king of rematches.
And this fight, Usyk versus Fury, felt like the end of this heavyweight generation. It started 10 years ago, 2015, when Fury beat Klitschko.
Yep.
Fury
that
goes AWOL.
Passing of the torch.
Fury goes AWOL. Wilder emerges, goes on his knockout streak, revitalizes heavyweight division, especially in the
America.
U.S.
Yeah.
Fury returns. He has his trilogy with Wilder. Joshua bursts onto the scene, beats Klitschko, revitalizes UK boxing. Joshua was doing his thing.
That fight was so good.
Joshua gets stopped by Ruiz. Around this time is when Usyk is wiping out the cruiser division. He's setting his sights on the heavyweight division. He then takes out AJ Fury Dubois. We never get AJ versus Wilder. We never get Fury versus AJ. But it felt like Usyk beating Fury on Saturday night was the final chapter of the last 10 years of this heavyweight division. And it's Usyk that's the best of them all. Usyk. Joshua. Not Wilder. Not Fury. Usyk.
I think it's the closing of the door for who's the best, right? The dust is settled. Usyk is the guy. But I do think that we're still going to get a Joshua Fury fight. And that's still part of that generation. And granted, it doesn't mean what it used to.
It's not going
to
mean as much.
No, it's not going to. It really doesn't. We're battling for a silver medal at this point. You know, the goal.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I don't know if that was derogatory. It's pretty much like the you didn't beat Usyk Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to. Yeah, essentially. Which, but that's what it's called.
Bronze.
Let's call it what it is. You know, they're in the loser's bracket at this point. You know, they get to fight each other. Still a ton of money to be made and a lot of bragging rights. And it's going to matter. It's going to matter to both those guys historically. Listen, I'm a fighter, dude. It's not just what's on paper. It's in your med. It's like, Anthony, I beat you, bro. Like, we're going to see each other in Hall of Fame events.
30 years and stuff.
You know, Joshua's like, hey, man, listen, yeah, I know we both lost to Usyk, but I got you. I got you, Tyson.
You have to. Bro, they have to. You have to put it. You have to finish out this era. Like, interviewing Joshua and talking to Joshua over the years, like, he's very into this generation. He's very into his era. He always talked about guys that came up before him, and I'm fighting guys from my era. I'm fighting the guys from the past. I'm fighting the guys of the future. He's very aware of that. So is Fury. Fury, you know, was crowned the best of this generation a little prematurely before he saw Usyk, but he was very familiar with you're familiar with who you come up with. You are, right? You're familiar with who you came up the ranks with. It's like you're in the NBA. You're familiar with your draft class, like Carmelo and LeBron and Dwayne Wade were all drafted in the same year, and so they all came up the same. It's not the same in boxing, but it's about when you turn pro. So Joshua Fury, not so much Usyk, but Parker, some of those guys are all in that same class, in that same era, and they have to fight Fury and Joshua. That's next, right? Is that what you think is what's next for Fury?
I do. I think Fury Joshua just makes too much sense. Turki Alashik himself said, you know, he talked about Usyk and Dubois. He's like, I want to make that fight. And then he goes, well, look at Fury. I would like to bring him back against Joshua. And I agree, you know, and I think he also said anything is possible in Riyadh. I'm like, yeah, obviously anything is, and he's making great fights. And I don't know, that fight just makes too much sense.
It's a Wembley fight though.
100%.
Joshua Fury will get 98,000 at Wembley. It will be a big party.
Even both now. Guys with losses. Yeah,
They want to win. Like, not only that, like, they want each other for the bragging rights, that W. But, like, they're both guys are desperate for a win. Like, Fury wants to get a W. Joshua, I think, has more left to prove in boxing than Fury. Like, I think he has a little bit more. So he wants to get a W. So, yeah, you can add the historical impact to it and, like, generational down the line, bragging rights and all that. But in terms of, like, Joshua needs a W. Fury needs a W.
So I was in Ireland recently in Belfast, one of our Pro Box TV fights, and then we had another fight in Waterford, and we had a bunch of like Irish versus Irish fighters, and there's a term that they use that I love now. I want to use it all the time: a domestic dust up. So, like, is there a bigger domestic dust-up than Tyson Fury versus Anthony Joshua? Absolutely not. And they make the best fights. You're fighting for bragging rights at this point. They're not fighting for the crown anymore. They're not fighting for the best of generation. That's already been established.
But they're not washed either.
They're not washed either, exactly. And I think they're both diminished enough that it makes it a great fight. Like, if Tyson went out there and, like, beat Usyk and looked phenomenal and was just like, oh, man, that first fight, like, that's a... Wow, you know, Fury really did have trouble getting enough sparring with that cut, and he went out there and he did what he did. And then you're making the Joshua Fury fight, which still probably would have happened. I would have been like, well, Tyson's going to wash him. But all the things that you said about, you know, Tyson, like, not pulling the trigger quite as much, gas tank is a little bit, you know, hindered late rounds. Like, now it's like, well, I mean, Joshua's still a problem. Joshua still punches like a mule kick. He still has fantastic technique. He's still a big guy. And Fury's not the biggest puncher. Like, he's not a one-punch guy. He's not a Danny Dubois-type puncher. Yeah, he could punch. He's a heavyweight. Everybody can. So, like, if Joshua gets through those early rounds without getting hurt, like, we got to fight.
Yeah. And I'm still curious what the heck Joshua is at this point. Like, that was the worst game plan ever versus Daniel Dubois.
And he still, like, almost figured it out because he hurt Dubois right before he got stopped.
Doing? That's why, like, is that an aberration?
Dan, I think he just got hurt so quick.
But is that an aberration? Is Joshua's not cooked at all, I don't think.
I don't think so either. I just think that...
But he's not as bad. He's not as bad as he looked against Dubois, and he's not as good as he looked against Ngannou, obviously.
Or even Otto.
Or some of the other guys before that.
Yeah, he looked really good against Valim. He looked really smart. I mean, his fundamentals are so good. I think the moment, which is strange because he has the experience, the moment kind of got to him, and he had this guy in front of him. He's like, I'm gonna big brother you, and it just was not the right guy to do it to.
Yeah, he got like fired up. The 98,000 got into it. It was weird. It was very strange.
A guy who had been there, Dubois, who had never been there, he was the one who was super stoic and stayed within himself. And it just seemed like Anthony was just way too overzealous, got in front of his skis. But Dan, that's the thing. Speaking from a fighter perspective, sometimes you get hurt and you're just not going to recover that night. You're just not going to be okay.
Especially AJ.
You're going to say, well, especially heavyweights. And you're going to say, like, oh, you know, his chin's washed. Like, no, dude, I'm telling you, sometimes you get hit with a shot and people at home might not even know. And you're like, I'm rocked. And I'm rocked for rounds. I'm rocked for a long time. I spent the Pacquiao fight rocked for 12 rounds. Like, he hit me in the first round. I was like, wow. I'm like, I'm hurting. Everything else that hit me, where normally I had a really good chin, just affected me more. You know, glancing shots at that point hurt you. So I think it was one of those situations with Joshua and Dubois. I think he just got rocked early, never was able to recover. But he's a warrior, and he fights, and he went out on a shield the way he did. Because that's just what Anthony is.
Right. It made me want to watch him again. And
yeah,
I mean,
it was like, a fun fight.
We're not talking about two shot fighters. It's not an embarrassing event, AJ versus Fury. It's a necessary event. It's one of the biggest events of next year. I'm really hoping we get that. And I'm hoping it's at Wembley. And I would actually consider going to that, Chris. Should we go?
We should go.
We should go.
I mean, what bigger event can we get to?
I don't think I had never been. Have you been to Wembley?
I have not, no.
Okay, so we got to go. And we got to stop waiting for the perfect one and just go to the next one. And this is the next one.
You can't get bigger than that.
Another thing, too, is from a personal standpoint, is I have to interview Usyk. I have to get him mini mic and just pick that man's brain.
Because he's funny.
Pick that man's brain. I have to. First of all, I just want to shake his hand. Like, when I shook Inoue's hand, that was a goal of mine. And just to be like, stare him in the eyes and be like, you're the fucking all-time great. Yep. Let me see what you're about. And I did that this past summer at the Boxing Writers dinner. I've been in rooms with Usyk, but I've never actually met him. I would just like to shake his hand, number one, and just be like,
have you met Tyson?
Fury?
Yeah.
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 But
I try quickly and tell people how big he is. You can't really put into words.
It's like NBA center style.
Yeah. When he walked in the room for a fighter meeting, I was like, what the hell is that? I had never seen a heavyweight that big.
And he moves and he boxes. And yeah, I don't want to, like, I was a little tough on Fury in the first podcast here. And his antics kind of get under my skin a little bit. And
I love
you got to give him credit.
I love everything about him.
Necessary character in this sport. You cannot deny what he did for the last 5 years of bringing mainstream attention to heavyweights, to boxing, the showmanship. Still a freaking good fighter, man. Like, yeah, he didn't embarrass himself in any, yeah, the ninth round.
I was impressed last night. I thought he was I thought he showed a very high boxing IQ. I thought he was
desperate at times.
The problem was, well, he was cautious.
But at the end, he was winging.
Yeah, I mean, he had to, though. What else are you going to do? But he was exhausted. The problem was, you know, his gas tank was an issue at the end. He just wasn't able to pull the trigger, wasn't able to keep up with the combinations. What was I going to say about him? No, he didn't embarrass himself at all. I thought he boxed very smart. I think he showed his class. I think he just made a strategic mistake by trying to outbox the boxer. When you've got a 55-pound weight advantage.
Yeah, use it.
Yeah, he just did not.
Get it.
He did not use it.
Fucking weird. Dubois. This guy is
cringiest post-workout interruption ever.
He is just unintentionally hilarious. Usyk is about to cry, literally, talking about his family, talking about his children, and out of nowhere, Dubois rips the mic out of Ade Odolipo's, I need my revenge. for a knockout loss.
And did you see Usyk mouth? He's like, revenge for what? He was like,
Usyk's reaction was absolutely hilarious. He just staring at him like, really, man? Like, really?
And then I was just about to start crying, and now I gotta deal with your in my face.
And Dubois, like, someone put him up to it, obviously, because I don't think this is not who he is.
That's not
number one. Someone put him up to it. Number two, he just
the Frank timing Warren's of it, like kicking him in the ass, like, get up there, kid.
And the timing of it was just comically hilarious. Yeah. And he starts bowing. He does like a few like weird bows, and he utters this nonsense. And Usyk handles it perfectly. Tells Turkey, go ahead and make that fight. All that aside, and that ridiculous moment that was just hilarious. I guess that's the only thing left for Usyk is a Dubois fight.
Yeah, aside from retirement, yeah.
I mean, I would like to see him retire. I don't
need to see Dubois.
Don't need to see it again.
I don't need to see that fight.
If Dubois beats another thing too, what I had an issue with Dubois jumping in the ring. You're fighting Joseph Parker.
Yeah,
but this guy, all Joseph Parker does is upset plants.
Uh huh.
Uh-huh. Like you're testing fate, Daniel Dubois. You're pissing off Parker. I know he doesn't not the type of fighter that fights pissed off Parker, but he will just go in there and UD you. He'll beat you 9-3.
Mm-hmm.
And there goes your plan.
There's a good chance that happens. There's a good chance Parker beats Dubois.
Very good chance.
Yeah. I agree with you on that. I think that was ill-timed. I get it.
Hilarious though.
I get it. It was funny. It was very cringy, very awkward. You could tell he was out of his sorts, out of his skin, was Dubois, but who Usyk handles everything in stride as always.
He was staring at him like, what the heck is this guy talking about?
He's like, what is this guy talking about? Revenge for what?
Revenge. I mean, that's the only, Dubois Usyk is the only fight out there for Usyk at the heavyweight division. I still think has somewhat juice, has a little bit of juice because of the quote unquote controversy with the low blow, legal shot nonsense. If Dubois gets past Parker, he looks even better. So, I could maybe see it. If Usyk wants to dial it up one more time, if they want to throw 50, 60, 70 million at him to fight in Saudi Arabia, Usyk's going to look at that.
Or
and the only 100. Formidable foe, yeah, exactly, 100 million. The only formidable foe out there is Dubois. You can maybe throw in the wrinkle. It's, once again, an undisputed fight. I think that doesn't even matter anymore.
No.
Because Usyk is the undisputed heavyweight champion. They took that belt off of him out of a technicality. Usyk's the undisputed heavyweight champion.
No one questions who the top of the division is.
Just stop.
Yeah.
So that's it. I mean, they're talking about Jay Opatai coming up from Cruiser to fight Usyk, a smaller
heavyweight. Can we put to bed the idea that Usyk's going to go back down to Cruiserweight? I know
not, never going to happen.
That's never happening. And people were talking about that. Like, that was a real thing. And maybe he, like, flirted with that or just said that, but that was never happening.
Bro, this is what you do. Like, he's out of challenges. So now you have to dig in and find these ridiculous challenges. I'm seeing
back comes Vladimir Klitschko.
Right? The two Ukrainians fighting, never going
to
happen.
That might, if like he wanted to give Klitschko a payday and also like get some like Ukrainian, you know, nationalism
goodwill.
Going. Yeah. Goodwill. Yeah. I mean, that I could, and then you could also be like, I beat, you know, one of the all time greats from the past, legend. But
stop.
Yeah, nobody wants to see that.
There was talk about, I saw some rumblings of Usyk going down to cruiserweight. So you're telling me I got 37, he's going to
drop 26 pounds.
Yeah. He's going to start cutting weight when he's at the highest
peak.
He
looks so solid at heavyweight now. Like, I was watching him last night and I'm like, in that 12th round, I'm like, this guy is just solid. He looks good. Like he's a small heavyweight for sure, but he just, everything looked good head to toe.
Yeah. He's got it going on. Jay Opatai. That gives me some interest. If Opatai can move up, he's a smaller heavyweight. So is Usyk. He is about to wipe out cruiserweight. He is with Matchroom. They're with that whole Saudi side. I'm not opposed to Opatai versus Usyk. It doesn't really do anything for me, but it's another name.
It does nothing for me.
Right?
It's like a big step down.
It's not a spectacle.
No, it doesn't make any sense. The only fight out there is Dubois. The only options are retirement or Dubois.
It's kind of, I know, that sucks. Because, like, only in boxing, like, it's just, We finally, like, not
but this
finally.
Is what we were saying before the fight. This is why, quote unquote, it was better if Fury won. There was just way more landscape to happen. But now with Usyk winning, it's like, you're the man.
No, I'm just mad that Usyk's 37. I wish he was 30. I wish he was, like, going to fight for the next 5 years. Especially with the money being thrown around in Saudi Arabia for the heavyweight division.
I think he's all right on money. He made over 100.
You know what I mean? From just like where we stand and like having, I just want to watch him fight. I still want to see him against Bacoli. I want to see him against Zhang. I want to see him against Caballero. I want to see him against Parker. No, he's not going to fight any of those guys.
I don't. He's not the most exciting guy. I'd rather. I think he's that technician, and that's great. I don't, you know, he's. Not for nothing. He fights the same way with everybody. actually, the best guys always did. Like, Floyd fought everybody the same way. Like, the same moves. He just made it work on everybody. And Usyk's that kind of that guy too. Let's get the next generation. Let's give him his flowers. But I'm ready for more explosive heavyweights to step.
How about Moses Atuma?
Ooh, speaking of explosive, man, 19. That kid. He is explosive, and when there's blood in the water, he goes for it. That was impressive. His technique is very, very good. He's very explosive. Changes speeds, changes directions very, very, very well. I didn't realize Ben Davidson's in his corner, correct?
Yeah.
I did not realize that, which speaks worlds to, you know, why he's so technical and he's got good he's got a good strategy, obviously. But he had a guy in there that was not on the level, and when you got someone like that, don't spend a lot of time in the ring with him, and he did not.
Yeah, I mean, Dempsey McKean, I didn't think too much of him, but it was supposed to be a test. This was supposed to be rounds.
Yeah, no, nope.
Put him a co-main event on one of the biggest fights of the year. Unbelievable. At 19 years old, shades of Mike Tyson, which you always have to do when you see a 19-year-old heavyweight. I thought the broadcast was so funny. They were like, could he won the guy Mike Costello? Could this man break Mike Tyson's record as the youngest heavyweight champion ever? And then, like 2 seconds later, he has until April to do it. Like he turns 20, or he becomes too old in April. And I'm like, pump the brakes, bro. Like,
also, he's got Alexander Usyk, or Daniel Dubois. What are you gonna? That fight's not happening.
In my mind, when I heard that, I was like, all right. So I was like, first of all, who you beating? And I was like, well, how old is he? And then by the time I thought about all those things, he said, he has until April.
First of all, who you beating? Second of all, how are you going to make that happen in your 13th fight?
Like, he will be a heavyweight champion, Atuma. He's the best of the next crop. Like, Atuma.
I like what I've seen from him.
Jalilov.
Jalilov. I think Jalilov is possibly the future. I don't know.
Not marketable at all.
Doesn't matter. You can't beat him.
He's a freaking
nature. He is a giant heavyweight bivol with one punch power.
Yeah.
He's got that in and out.
He's doing the Olympics and the amateur stuff. Just be a pro. But like, who else? Him, Tuma, I would say Jaron Anderson, but he's got wiped out. Who's that other guy? Wardley?
Yeah, Fabio Wardley.
Who dented that man's skull?
Who's the other one he's been fighting on these Riyadh cards? Who's been very, very good?
No Americans, that's for sure.
No, he just beat
Richard Torres is not in this ilk. This guy Denier Perro, I've been called a bunch of his fights. He's a younger brother of Linear Perro. He is trained by Bob Santos, who's Cuban. Denier Perro needs to be mentioned among some of the best heavyweights, young heavyweights.
I can't believe I'm drawing a blank on this guy right now.
Talking about a heavyweight guy?
Yeah.
It was Atuma on these cards. It was Fabio Wardley. It was that's really it, man. In terms of like UK heavyweights. If anyone knows that, they leave a comment. Did you watch Dave Allen and Johnny Fisher?
Robbery of the year.
Bro, that was Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
It was fun. It was fun, but I mean, Dave Allen, come on, dude. Yeah, he won that fight.
Dave Allen won the fight. Johnny Fisher landed an uppercut on himself, which has made the rounds.
That's not the first.
Fury's done it. Allen outlanded Fisher. He landed a higher percentage in all three categories: total punches, jabs, power shots. Wouldn't be a fight. Wouldn't be a card. Did they use the AI judges on that? I would be curious to see. Man, those AI judges had a rough night. It's so funny because, oh, it was a big talking point this week. It can't be any worse than the humans. Humans got it right. The AI got it wrong.
I'm going backwards. Ajit Kabayel.
Is he young?
He's 24-0. He's on a good run right now.
I have him in the rung above Atuma and...
In terms of what? Wardley. Just because he's gotten more experience.
Yeah, and he's fighting Zhang. Like, Atuma's not fighting Zhang.
No, he's not a long way to
yet.
Go.
And Kabayel beat Sanchez, one-legged Frank Sanchez.
Yep.
He beat Makhmudov.
Oh, wow. Kabayel's Frankenstein. Older than I thought. Oh, he's 32. I thought he was younger.
He's 32. He looks good. Nice. You got a young face, Kabayel.
Yes. Young
box rec pick.
But also, we haven't seen a whole lot
German.
Of him. So maybe that's why.
German. We're going to see him versus Zhang.
Zhang, that's a tough fight.
Dude, February 22nd is the next big one.
That's a bomb of a card.
Oh, my God.
This card, not the greatest card, but, you know, obviously the main event was what it was. But
well, Boachuk Medrimov falling out was huge.
That was huge.
And Boachuk, good for him. I hope they somehow compensated him, which I'm pretty sure they did.
I hope they compensated both those guys.
Right.
Because Ishmael Davis coming in on late replacement, coming off a very close loss to Josh Kelly.
Yeah.
And then stepping up, and what is he, 15 fights? And you got to fight a beast like Boachuk?
I hope he's having a good Christmas. I hope they gave him a nice fat stack. And yeah. I hope they gave Boachuk a nice fat stack for toying with this guy.
I actually like Davis. I like Ishmael Davis. I think he's actually pretty good. He's just got a long way to go.
Yeah, Boachuk blasted him out of there, did what he was supposed to do.
Boachuk's world class. Different guy. Different
Boachuk, Charles Conwell.
Love it. I love Conwell with all of them. I want Conwell to fight, get his opportunity with any single guy.
Well, that's his opportunity.
That's next?
No, I just think it should be next.
Yeah, it's a great fight. Great fight.
Medrimov is fighting. I hope he's getting
Virgil
past his pneumonia, quote unquote. He's fighting Virgil on February 22nd.
Great fight.
I think
behind Crawford, that's the fight for number one in the division, in my eyes.
You've seen these Crawford Bakram rumors.
I saw some of that mentioned. That would be surprising to me.
Bakram tweeted, "Am I fighting Crawford?" So funny. Like
Murtaz Aliyev, dude, I don't think anybody wants to fight that guy.
He's like, "I woke up and I think I'm fighting Terrence Crawford." He like tweeted it. It was so funny.
That's awesome.
I got to follow
him. What a great reaction.
I'm going to follow him. He has 600 followers. Oh my God. Come on, bro.
He's a problem.
December 16th, he tweeted, "They say I might have a fight with Crawford in April. Is that true? Does anyone know about this?" Crying emoji faces.
That's awesome. Oh, and so he's got personality too, this one. All right.
He tweeted last night, Usyk professor.
Yeah.
He is facts. A professor.
He's a maestro.
He's a maestro.
He gets coffees for closers. Usyk has coffee to the day he dies.
I got a bunch of tweets about that. They loved our Usyk the closer.
The closer.
He's Brady. He's Jordan. He's Mariano
mm-hmm.
Rivera.
Mm-hmm. He's the buzzer killer, man. He's just at the buzzer. He's just.
How about him also just like destroying all these plants, like beating all these Brits?
Yeah.
Turning these Brits into putting him into a frenzy. Like,
well, that's why when he said, "I'm coming, Anthony. I'm coming for you." Like he comes into your backyard, beats you up, takes your money, takes the bag. He's literally he's robbing people with a smile. He is something else.
If you have if you feel a certain way about UK boxing, if you have, I wouldn't say hatred, but if Eddie Hearn rubs you the wrong way, Frank Warren rubs you the wrong way, you take extra
joy and pride in what Usyk is doing,
and watching Usyk come in there and just ruin plans. Like,
but I also I'm not gonna lie. I mean, I don't have a certain feeling about the UK and UK boxing by any means. I love
their
fans.
There are people
fans.
Out there that do.
100%. I know that, but it is pretty. It is fun to watch like certain Mexican fighters go over there and just like knock out their.
That
champions.
Was a thing for
like,
a while too. Yeah. That was a thing for a while where like Mauricio.
And he
Lara,
was like, "We got to stop bringing these Mexicans over here. Let's go to Argentina. Let's go." Let's
Mauricio
go to Peru.
Lara destroying yeah. Lee Wood. It was a run.
He ruined a couple
Mexicans.
Guys.
Yeah, and Usyk. You can make a case like when Usyk beat Joshua the first time. They were setting up Joshua to fight Fury. They were setting up Joshua to fight Wilder.
Usyk, to me, I don't care who he fights. I don't care where he fights. He could fight in Ukraine. I think Usyk's an alien. He's coming from another planet. So wherever he goes, he's on enemy territory. Wherever he goes, he's upsetting the apple cart. He's just that guy, man. He's him and Crawford are aliens. I think they're different different types of people.
Didn't talk about that, but we could end there. Pound for pound, you have to have Usyk number one now, right?
I mean, I did anyway. I'm going with what I always say. I don't know how you beat him. I don't see him losing. And that my pound for pound stipulation is always like, all right, who wins in a fight? And I cannot picture someone beating. I can see Crawford taking a loss. I can see it. I can't see Usyk losing.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, what a world, what a era we're living in where this
Did you see the video where they asked Usyk about pound for pound? And he said he was like number 17. He was like, I don't know, number 17. He goes, my favorite is Crawford. He goes, he is a vicious, fantastic boxer. And he, you know, I'm butchering the words, but and then they asked him, he's like, where do you put yourself? And he kind of stops and he thinks, he looks around, he's like, I don't know, 17? And then he laughs.
This is why I need to interview him. Like the back and forth with this guy would be epic. But
on the flip side of the coin, they ask him, who in heavyweight history could beat you? Yeah. And he goes,
and he said, Usyk.
Alexander Usyk. Like, great, I mean,
guy, what a world guy. We're living in, though, where the top three, interchangeable, Usyk, Crawford, Inoue.
Yeah.
Throw in Beterbiev, Canelo, Bivol. I mean, this is a great time.
Bam Rodriguez is breaking in.
I understand you have to have your number one, and that's the whole point of it. But I'm more of like a Mount Rushmore. I'm more of like the top four. I'm more of the collection. And Usyk, Crawford, Inoue, Beterbiev, Bivol. I'll put Bivol in there too. Beterbiev/Bivol because that was such a controversial decision.
Agreed.
What a freaking top four or five. Just be happy, boxing fans. Be happy for once.
We have epic top dogs in our sport right now. And we said, and we're saying we're ending every show at the end of this year. We're saying like, hey, fans, be happy. Like we're
be
in a good
happy.
Place.
This is not our last show of the year. We have one more next week. We're going to take a little bit of a break for the holidays. We'll come back with our year end award show.
Are we doing
third
tuxes?
Annual with Chris are we, Tuxes? Are we
tuxed up.
Third annual with Chris. Seventh annual all time of Inside Boxing Live history. Tuxes, martinis, cigars. I will put out a Google form with all the awards. Everyone vote. I'll find some funny moments from the year, storylines, all that and the other. Look for that next week before New Year's. All right. Have a great holiday. What do you got planned? What are we getting for Christmas?
Man, dude, I'm a grown man. Whatever. I buy myself whatever I need. I don't
my
need
mom
presents.
Still wants to get me something, and I was like, I don't know.
My mom's been
skillet.
Sending me knickknacks. I'm like, stop spending your money,
right?
Mom. I'm
I
fine.
Want you to open something.
I'm a grown man. I have everything I need. Trust me. I'm
Dyson
fine.
A Dyson vacuum last year. That was nice.
Oh, that's a good gift. Those are expensive. That's a good.
Now I'm just getting stuff for the like my house. You know, like here's a cast iron skillet. Here's a
nice
Dyson.
Good gift.
Here's good a gift. Dyson vacuum. Here's a new coffee table.
But also, you
here's
live in New York, and that can also be a weapon. Someone comes through your front door. A skillet is a very good
a drone?
Thing. Yeah,
those things are.
It's so funny the drone thing because you always bring it up because I don't have that. We don't have drones in Florida. It's too hot.
No, it's big.
So...
It's big here. It's big here.
No, it's
very
big up there right now.
All right, everybody, enjoy your holidays. We're back next week with a year-end award show. Keep your hands up at all times. Protect yourselves at all times. Stay out of those DMs. Alexander Usyk is a goat.
The guy.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.